We are talking about the blessing, and we're going to be wrapping it up today. We've been looking at this desire that God has to bless us. God wants us to receive life and life abundantly. We have to understand, though, and this is where it comes to this surrender, is that God is the one who knows what life is. So many times we want to tell him what life is, that God, if I'm going to enjoy life, this is what the good life is. We need to understand that God knows better than we know what really brings life to our bodies, our mind, and our spirit. And he is working towards that. And the process that really brings life sometimes takes us on a journey in a direction that we don't always want to go. But if we will trust God and take his direction, even though sometimes it looks like we're getting far away from the shore that I want, I'm going to tell you that the destination that he has is going to be richer, it is going to be deeper, it is going to be more fulfilling than what the things of this world or the things that we think we need can ever do for us. And so we've been looking at the different areas of entering into that blessing. And we've looked at the birthright that he has, that he wants to bring life through us, that we can be like Jacob and Abraham and Isaac, that through us, the Messiah can come. That is a blessing to be the one that brings life into the world. That's more important than what we get out of the world. So many times we're looking at what we get instead of what we can give. And there is a blessing that God has turned us into the conduits of his blessing to the world. And that is a greater fulfillment than anything. We've looked at being planted, that God wants to make us trees in his garden, trees that bring harvest at the right time, trees that find strength even in the midst of storms and floods and the hard things of life, but yet we have a foundation that never leaves. See, that is a blessing that those of this world do not have. Because many times if we get everything we want, it's like that man that builds his house on the sand. It's great to have it, but you better enjoy it while you have it because pretty soon it's going to be gone. Well, God doesn't want us to be in that situation. He wants us to be planted in him. And that if we begin to put our roots in God, that even though it's not easy and there's hard times, he's going to bring fruit and harvest. Last week, we looked at the double portion, that God wants more than just the little bit. So many times we get complacent. We get happy with this enough. This is all I need. I'm fine, God. Just don't move. And yet God says, no, that's not enough. Because if you get complacent where you are, you can end up losing it all. We need to push forward. We need to desire the double portion. And we saw the anointing that God has for us, that when we find his purpose and his ministry, and when we get connected to the things that he is doing, that we find that new power, the power to overcome the things that we struggle with. And so there is more. We have to want more, though. We have to stop settling and watching from a distance and begin to be involved and get connected to it. Well, today, I want us to look at another story, and now we're going to jump into the New Testament. And we know that the New Testament is a culmination. Jesus is the very answer to all these blessings that he had been talking about in the Old Testament. All the promises to our forefathers in the Old Testament were all pointing to Jesus, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the blessings that God has for us. And so Jesus tells this story, which is his own invitation to blessing. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 16. And this is Jesus speaking, telling this parable. He said, "But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've just bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go and examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I've just married a wife, therefore I cannot come. Does that sound familiar? The wife is like, you're not going anywhere. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house became angry. And he said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges, the byways, and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet. Here's the great news. We have been invited to the banquet of God. Jesus said, I am here. I have come to bring the invitation. It is because of Jesus that we just don't have to wait for the birthright. We don't have to just be planted and hold on and wait for that harvest time. It's not pushing forward for that double portion. Jesus says, it's here. You are invited to come and to enter into my banquet. And we need to understand that there is a banquet that God has for us. There is a feast. There is a party. There is a celebration of life that God has asked us to come and experience with him. It is something that God desires us to enjoy with him. You see, he's going to celebrate life. He is going to celebrate this creation that he has made. But he doesn't want to do it alone. He wants us to come and enjoy that and to receive all that he has. But you notice that what keeps us from entering into that and enjoying all that God has for us are excuses. And we all find ourselves in this place because we've all heard the invitation. If you are here, you have heard the invitation to follow Christ. That banquet, preparing ourselves for the banquet, to get ready for the banquet, to hear when it is ready, the dinner bell to ring, we have to begin to follow Christ, that it is through Christ that we have that invitation. And yet, along the way, we get distracted, we get caught up with things. All the people that he went to, they were all invited. And they already had received the invitation. Remember, it said that I've already invited. Now, servants, I want you to go tell them. Now it's time. But when they went to him, they had things to do. It was not a good time for them. It's not that they didn't want to come, but you know what? Okay, just in a little bit. Maybe tomorrow, I've got to do these things. They begin to make excuses. And there are so many things that rob us of the banquet of God that we allow in our life that are nothing more than excuses. We make excuses, and the problem is the excuses are all focused on one thing. It's because we get focused on I. You notice every excuse started with I. I have just bought this land. I've just bought these oxen. I've just got married. Whenever we begin to focus on I, I'm telling you, it's going to become an excuse. It's going to be something that gets between us and what God wants. But first of all, we want to look at what is the banquet. Because here's the problem. Here's why it's so easy to make excuses. It's because we don't understand what God is offering us. And it's easy to make excuses when other things look way more appealing. Okay? If someone says, you know what? I've got something great. You want to come over to my house? We're going to pull some weeds, and we're just going to have a good time out in the yard sweating. And you have the option of doing anything else. Of course, it looks, nah, I'm sorry, man, I would, but I've got this. Because we don't value something like that. God's invitation to us sometimes looks like that. It looks like God is inviting us to pull weeds and to dig ditches. And it's like, what kind of celebration is that? But we need to understand what the real invitation is. What is the banquet? What is he offering? First of all, we need to see that this banquet is, first of all, hope. God says, if you will follow me, I'm going to give you hope that you will not have otherwise. Yes, it may be hard. Getting ready for the banquet, we've got to clean up. We've got to begin to take off the old things. We've got to put away the comfortable things. We've got to take our pajamas off and get out of bed and get ready. But I'm going to tell you, as we are doing that, there is a hope. And in this life, we may have to put some things aside, but there is hope that carries us through the darkest night. I'm going to tell you, riches, jobs, family, those things are not going to give you hope for tomorrow. We look forward to that. We dream about that, but there is nothing to hold on because nothing is given. We can lose all of that. That is not secure. Whereas God says, I want to give you hope of something that no one can steal. The banquet, the invitation to the banquet is something that no one can take away from you. There is coming a day where you are going to receive the fullness of all of my favor. And you need to hold on to that because I will not take away my invitation. If you will prepare yourself, if you will follow me, there is a hope that keeps us in the midst of this world. And that is the blessing that God gives us. God wants to give us hope because sometimes things look hopeless. We live in a life that so many times our hope is pulled out from under us. The things that we had counted on are not going the way that we thought it was going to be. God wants to give you hope because there are promises that God has made that he says, I am faithful, that you can count on me. If you will accept my invitation, I will give you hope, and he will whisper it into you daily to remind us, even when it's hurting, that there is hope. Well, here's the other thing, though. It's not just hope, but there is pleasure right now. God says he gives us daily tastes of who he is. He says, come and taste and see that I am good. Well, you may not have got to the banquet yet, but God will constantly give us little reminders that he still knows where we are. God wants to give us pleasures, even in our daily life. There's little pleasures that keep us going, that God wants you to know the times that he puts his hand on your heart and settles it, and there's a peace that just holds you when everything is in turmoil, and that's a pleasure. Sometimes there's moments where God just blesses us. Maybe there's that thing that we were not expecting, but God just blesses you. Whether it's a monetary or whether it is a personal or relational thing, God will bless us even in this life. There are good things in life that God gives us, even if they're momentary. We need to understand that God blesses us even now. There are pleasures now to be had in the presence of God. We need to begin to just see them, to begin to open our eyes to see the little things that God is doing and begin to enjoy those things. But then more importantly, finally, you know what the real invitation is? The real banquet is that there is coming pleasure for eternity. We need to understand this is why we follow Jesus. It's not just for the hope, and it's not just for the little pleasures of this life, but you need to understand why we are following Jesus, why we come together. It is because there is a knowledge, there is a faith, there is a conviction that this life is not all there is. Because this life is soon going to be over, and we need to understand that we live once and then the judgment. And then there is one of two destinations. Either we are going to enter into the pleasure of God that is beyond imagination, or we are going to be separated from God forever. And to be separated from God, I don't care what your vision of hell is like, it is simply the fact that God is the source of all pleasure and you will be separated from that source. Let that be whatever it is. Whether it is fire, pain, sorrow, it will be immensely void of any pleasure. There's not going to be party because I'm going to be with the fun people down in hell. You can be with Jesus. It ain't going to be like that. It is going to be a separation from everything that gives any pleasure. And yet there is a promise that we can enter into pleasure for eternity, to be what we were created to be, to enjoy this life and creation without any sorrow, without the failures of sin that we live in today, without this broken world. There is an eternity of banqueting joy that God has for us. This is the invitation. And that is worth more than you have to give up in this world. You need to understand that. There is no pleasure in this world that is worth experiencing for 100 years and then being separated from God for eternity. We need to understand that. There is no pleasure in this life that is worth forfeiting the pleasure that God is offering. And so we need to begin to understand that there is no excuse. There is no excuse that is worth giving up what God wants in your life. There is nothing that is worth pushing God aside or even separating ourselves from Him for a moment. You see, there's two different ways that we can live. We either live with the attitude of will or can't. Now, you notice I didn't put can or can't because it's not about whether you can do this or whether you can't do it. The question is whether you will do it. Because there are some things that we can't do, but I will do in God. Because I begin to understand that I'm going to put my faith in God, not in myself. I am going to choose God over this world. And it doesn't mean that I always can be the best person, that I can always do that, but I will follow God. So I will choose to take on the mind of Christ. I will choose to follow Him, even if it's something beyond my ability. See, we just have to have that attitude that I will. When things go wrong, when I don't understand what's happening, I will follow God. I will accept the invitation. I will choose to step out in faith. Or we can live in this world, which is the can't. God, I love you, but I just can't do this. I love you, but I can't do that. Okay, I'm going to do as much as I can, God, but I can't do that. You see, I'm 90% for you, God. Isn't that good enough? As long as I'm more than 50%, God. See, we think that we can negotiate God. What that really is it's a can't. We're saying that part of me can't follow you, God, which that is an excuse and that is a refusal of the invitation. There is no 90%. There is only a full acceptance of the invitation. You either accept it or you don't. Either we're going to live in the will or we're going to live in the can't. And we love can't. You know, we give reasons why we can't. We give reasons why it's different for me. Pastor, that's great, but you see, you don't understand my situation. And so I'm doing the best, but I can't do it with this. It's always our own reason. We can justify why we can't do that. And yet, we're still saying can't. It doesn't matter the reason, we live within the can't. And as long as we live within the can't, we are never going to enter into all that God has for us. It is always going to separate us from God. Now, here's the thing. We know that God is calling us to no excuses. If we make excuses, here's the point, God is going to do it with someone else. In the story, it says, fine, if those people can't do this, they don't want to come or they're too busy, I want you to go out and get the lame and the poor and the sick and those that know they can't do it, and they're going to come in. So look at what the people who actually can't do the things that God wants are actually the ones who do receive the blessing. So the point is the very excuses that we are making are robbing us of the very things that the reason why we're making the excuse. We're making the excuse because we don't want to lose this part of life. And yet, in making excuse to hold on to life, we are absolutely being robbed of life. And yet, it's the poor, it's the blind, it's the lame, it's those that are willing to say, I don't have anything else. I'm not afraid of losing anything because what do I have to lose? I will do that. You know what? I'm lame. How can I get up and walk? But that's okay. I'll make it there some way. I will. You know, I'm sick and I can't get up, but I will do whatever. I've got an invitation that would have never come to me. I'm going to do whatever I can to get there. You see, if you had an invitation to go have lunch with the Queen in London, how many would take advantage of that? You know, I'll do whatever I can if I have something that no one else has that opportunity. We have an invitation to come by God himself, the King of all kings. We need to have that. I will do whatever it takes. You see, these are the people that God will use because he is going to have a banquet. He is going to have a family and a body that will receive all the lavish love that he has to give. So every time we make excuse, I want you just to understand that when you make excuse, you better enjoy that thing that you're doing because he's going to find someone else that would rather be with him. You say, I'm not saying I would rather. Yes, you are. Understand what an excuse is. It's not about the reason. It may be a very good reason, but it is an excuse because no matter what, you tell me any reason that is better than God. Any reason that is better than what God is asking, that what God can give. And I will say you are deceived. You are undeniably a fool to give up what you cannot hold. I mean, to give up what you cannot lose to gain what you can't even hold. And so we need to stop making music because he will use people. What are excuses that we give? Just real quick. First of all, we use excuses of finances. I can't do it. I don't have any money, or I can't serve God, or I can't do this. If I had money, I could do this for God. I could do that. You know what? It has nothing to do. If God is calling you to do stuff, we need to begin to understand that money has nothing to do with it. Well, I have to work. Well, yes, but are you trusting in God? If there is something that God puts on your heart to follow him, we need to begin to understand that these cannot be excuses. Finances is not an excuse for God. You're talking about the God who provides anything that you want, who is able to create monetary value out of anything. Do you think that God will not provide for his children when he knows it's best? Many times we use physical excuses. Well, I'm just not feeling good, or I can't do this to serve God, or I can't do that because I'm just not able. We need to understand again, God is the one who many times is just waiting for us to take a step. There are times that we used to have this all the time with our son. Every morning, it seemed, every morning, I'm sick, I can't go to school. And this is what he did. He was very smart about it. So did he come and tell me he was sick? No, never told me he was sick. Because he knew these things. He'd go to his mom. Mom, I'm sick. And then he could even throw up if he needed to, you know. And she, oh, my dear, you're, and she'd go get back in bed. So I'm up and I'm like, where's Michael? Oh, he's in bed. He's sick. No. Get up. You're gonna go to school. And it was amazing that every time he was sick and couldn't move, probably by the time second, third period came along, oh, he was fine. You'd see him after school and he's fine. It's amazing that when you're forced to take that first step, that you know what, once you get moving, once you get going, there is a rejuvenation. I think he realized, I got to go to school, I better make the most of it now anyway. And because I was not saying that he was not sick, that he didn't feel well. I don't feel well in the morning. I am not a morning person. But there's an understanding that we cannot use physical things. And yes, there are boundaries, but there are a point that we know what God is calling us. There are, don't look at me like I'm the terrible. There was times when he really was sick that he did not go to school. But, you know, God knows those points when we are making excuses and when he says, no, get up. You need to serve me. You need to go. So many times we use those physical excuses. And God is just pushing us, don't give in to those things. The other thing is responsibilities. Well, God, I have responsibilities. And God, if you're a real God, you would not want, we put God on himself. We kind of throw it back in his face. If you would want me to be a good example of a Christian, you wouldn't want me to drop my responsibilities. Well, here's the thing. You know what he wants more? A child who loves him more than the things that you have put yourself in those places. Because most of those times, God didn't give you that responsibility. You took it on yourself. Many times, we use responsibilities, and yet God is saying, who gave you that responsibility? He may have never wanted us to be put in that place in the first place. And to honor God is more important than to honor man. God's word. Now, God is a God who desires us to keep our word. But what he says is that that is why you order your life before God first, then you do not find yourself in those places of denying that. We need to stop using our responsibilities as an excuse to do what we know we should do. And again, this is a partnership with the Spirit, as the Spirit is calling us to these things that we find those moments where we are making an excuse. Just as these people, you know, I've got to go test my field. I got to go take care of these oxen. There's responsibilities, God. Well, God needs to come first. Have we really put God first in our life? Finally, we also look at relational. What was the one excuse? I just got married. Now, again, this married is not that they just, it's not like today where we get married, you go and get married. There was a long process. When they get married, even though they are considered married, it's really like a long process of what we would call engagement. And there are things that have to be done upon this courtship of marriage. Marriage was much more than a one-time thing. It was a long process. So he was entering into a true relational situation that was going to take his energy, and yet we need to understand God is saying, I know I love family. God is a God of family. But when that family and those relational issues in our life, you know, well, it's because this other person, or what are they going to think of me, or I'm going to build that place of influence in their life. When that becomes more important than God, I'm telling you, that excuse is robbing us of what God has. That relationship in our life, every relationship in our life needs to understand that they are second to God. We know this in our marriage. A marriage is not strong unless that wife or husband is second to God. And they know that God comes first. Children need to know, I love you, but God comes first. We need to understand that relational excuses cannot push God away. Because I'm going to tell you one thing, that relationship and what other people think of you and what other people can say about you and even what they can do. And yes, there are people that can make your life miserable if you don't carry through with those relational things. But you need to understand that in the end, your life's going to be way more miserable if God is not on your side. Those people do not hold your soul and your eternity in their hands. And the only reason that you can bring life into their life is that if you have a direct connection with God, when you are walking with God, that is the only way that you can then overflow into their life. and begin to bless them. Because yes, we do desire, and God wants to use you to bless other people. He is not against those things, but it has to be in alignment where it is flowing properly so that God can bless even in our relational life. So these excuses in so many ways separate us from what God wants in our life. I want you to look at this verse in Philippians chapter 3. This is what Paul says. Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect." Paul says, "I've accepted the invitation. Jesus has come and revealed himself to me." And we know that Paul received that invitation personally on his way to Damascus. And God came and revealed himself and brought him into new life. But still he's saying, "I have not obtained this. I am still not where I need to be. I feel like I'm still far away from the banquet. But," here's his word, "I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You see, here's the thing. I know there's times where it seems like excuses come in and there are reasons that we fall short. We need to understand that we need to be like Paul. "Man, I've blown, but I'm gonna press on. I've got to begin to push forward. It's hard and we blow it and we fall, but get up and press on again." We need to have this mentality. This is the will mentality. The can'ts overflow us. Get up and say, "I will." The excuse is not from when we fail. The excuse is when we don't try. The excuse is when we don't repent and we don't fall on our face and get better and get up and press on. And so this is the invitation. The invitation is not to earn it or not to be who you need to be, but it is to press on towards that invitation that I am going to receive what God has chosen me for. And this is why Paul says, "I'm not going to make any more excuses. I'm going to forget those things around me and I'm going to press on. And when I fail and when I don't have enough money and when I am sick in my body and when I have responsibilities, you know what? I am going to press on to God through those. That in the midst of those, God is going to be my focus of all my circumstances." You see, it is when we begin to press on, it is when we begin to press towards the invitation that it gets our eyes off of the pressures from around us. The more we focus on what we have to receive from God, the easier it is to keep our minds from the excuses. I'm going to tell you right now, the reason excuses are easy, it's because you're looking at the things that the enemy is offering to us. The more we look at what's offered, our other options. Let's put it this way. The world loves to say this, leave your options open. You know what God says? You better close off all your other options. Don't leave your options open. If you leave your options open, there's going to be lots of excuses. God says there are no other options. We need to keep our eyes on the goal. Paul says, "I press towards the prize." There's only one prize. When we begin to close off our options, the excuses will go away. I'm going to tell you, most of us have excuses because we have our eyes on a lot of different options, and we think God is multiple choice. "Well, God, I can still keep you in this with these other things." God's not a ball to be juggled. We hold on to God, and all the other things will have to find their way in our life. And God will give you wisdom to do the right things in those areas. But we need to begin to press on to the prize, which means you need to see the prize. You need to taste the prize. You need to anticipate the prize. You need to begin to love God and get to know him so much that you begin to see the value of following him. Because when I begin to receive that prize, I'm going to tell you, here's the great thing. When you truly press on to the prize, you will find your finances coming into much better order than they were before. You may not have a lot, you may not grow, but I'm going to tell you, they will not be such a burden to you. When you press on to God, I'm going to tell you, your responsibilities will seem to be much lighter. In fact, they will begin to become much more successful when you put God in that place. It doesn't make sense sometimes, but when you begin to do that, you will have more energy to take care of those responsibilities. It's amazing how when you put your focus on God, the physical is going to fall into place. There's times I'm still going to hurt, and I'm still going to be tired, and there's times that we're going to go through things that we don't understand why we're suffering, but like the man that was blind, we begin to have a fulfillment because Jesus comes and says he's not blind because of anything. He's blind to bring glory to God. Many times, there's things we're going to suffer through to bring glory to God, and it's amazing how much perseverance we can find when we are serving God and know that God is in control. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It's amazing how your relationships will come into a much better focus when we put God in that right place. Not to say you'll never have heartbreak, but when God is in place, you'll find the greatest relationship gives you strength to move through the relationships of this world. We need to press on. I love this quote. You see, it says the excuses, when we think of excuses that are keeping us from the prize, excuses that are keeping us from the prize are because we are focused on the reasons. And this is how it was described what an excuse is. An excuse is nothing more than the meat of a lie with the skin of reason over it. Think about this. Every time you have an excuse, it's nothing more than a lie with the skin of reason. How many know we have good reason? But I have a reason. All it is the skin of a lie. You say, well, I'm not lying. Here's what the lie is. The lie is the enemy telling you that that reason is more important than God. It's a lie from the enemy. It is the lie from this world. It's the lie from our sinful heart that gives you a reason to follow it. Now, yes, it's a very plausible reason, but there's an understanding that that reason is still drawing you into a lie, because the lie is in the value that you are choosing. Many times we have good reasons, and I know it's hard, but we need to understand what value are we choosing, the lie that's covered with reason or the truth that sometimes may be covered with sacrifice. But the sacrifice brings us to truth and life. We need to begin to open our eyes to what true value and life is calling us to. Here's one of the saddest stories. In Psalms 78, God is calling his people back. He's saying, I have brought you up to be a testimony for me. I have done great things for you. I have chosen you so that you could be the blessing to this world. But he says, the Ephraimites, armed with the bow, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to his law. They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. Think about that. His own people, the tribe of Ephraim, the children of Israel, turned their back on God. It said when the battle came, they turned away. Now they probably had an excuse. Well, we're a small tribe. There's not enough. Look at the enemy. They're much bigger. We've got to pull back. So instead of pressing on, they made an excuse. But listen to what it says. God says, they were armed with bows and arrows. They were skillful. They were armed, and they still turned back. God wants you to know, so many times we are armed. God has armed us. God has given us the strength we need. God has given us the provision we need to move forward. And many times we still turn back. And what does it say? They forgot who God was. They forgot what he had done because all they saw was the enemy. Many times all we see is what's in front of us, and we forget who God is and what God has promised us. We need to remember, if we will begin to press on and keep our eyes on the prize, not letting excuses rob the very things that God is calling us to. Guys, the banquet is almost ready. I'm telling you, we have hope and we have pleasure now. But I'm telling you, the main banquet is almost here. For some of us, it may come quicker than others. Because when we leave this life, we enter into the presence of God. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. We never know when this life is going to be over for some of us. We could die tomorrow. We could die tonight. Are we ready for the banquet? Do you have your banquet clothes on? Have you prepared yourself? Are you following Christ with all your heart? Are you living in everything, or are you living in excuses? Are you going to be ready when the call comes and says, okay, it's time for the banquet? I'm not dressed yet. Are we ready? We told the story of the 10 virgins. The 5 were wise. They kept their lamps lit. The other 5, they ran out of oil. They had to go do it. And while they were gone, the time came. And they missed out. Guys, the banquet's almost ready. And even if we don't die, I believe there's coming a time very soon when God is going to call his church out of this world. It says in Thessalonians, there's coming a time when the trumpet's going to sound. And it says that we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That we will be caught up into heaven with those that have gone before us. They're going to join us in the sky to be with Jesus. Jesus put it this way, there's going to be 2 in a field. One will be taken, one will be left. Are we ready? There is a great blessing that God wants us to have. The banquet is almost ready. But are we ready? Or are we making excuses? Let's not be like those people that made excuses. Because what did the king say? It says, those people that I invited will have no part of it. You know what? They thought other things were better. They can settle for their TV dinners while the rest of us are having a banquet. Don't settle for TV dinners. It will not fill you. It will not leave us where God wants us to enjoy the banquet of life. No more excuses. Let's begin to answer the call and receive the blessing that God wants. Let's bow our hearts.